Well, I'm joined now by Fevzi Turkalp, who is a technology journalist, editor at GadgetDetective.com and host of the Gadget Detective podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I'm hesitant to ask you this because obviously you would be doing a completely different job. But what's your take on the overall net impact of the internet?
No pun intended. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the ultimate curate's egg, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to imagine our lives without it. I mean, I think it's probably worth making the distinction between the internet and the World Wide Web, because Tim Berners-Lee's invention was, you know, the World Wide Web, web pages to allow for information to be shared and accessed. And I think, in principle, that's a good thing. I wouldn't blame him for anything that's happened. That would be like blaming the invention of a hammer for having fallen into the hands of a psychopath. I mean, it's the problem that we have, and he said it quite correctly in these recent interviews, is that social media websites have discovered that they can make more money by driving engagement. The longer we spend on their platforms, the more money they make. And psychologists have taught us that the way to drive engagement is to promote negative emotions, things like fear, that just drive us to make angry responses and, you know, keep us engaged. And he's quite right. The part of the solution to this is to say that those sorts of algorithms that drive those emotions and drive addictiveness should be illegal. We're used to outlawing drugs. Some drugs are illegal because of the harm they do. And I think that there's a very strong case for making certain business models and certain algorithms illegal as well.
He does say, doesn't he, in the interview, that he believes it's possible to get the genie back in the bottle. Do you think that in 50 years' time, we'll look back and say, oh, you know, wasn't it appalling the way that we just allowed algorithms to affect our mental health and our offline behaviour and to cause such divisions in society?
I think it's really hard because the damage that it's done is exactly the damage that will prevent it from being fixed. You know, not only is the genie out the bottle, we are all tainted by it. The American government is pushing back against European Union and the UK when it tries to make some very basic regulations against these big companies. But because the companies are so big and so profitable and so powerful, and the sway that they hold with you know, governments, and the fact that these companies are all located in one country pretty much, means that I struggle to see how we're going to roll it back, to be frank. I admire his optimism.
Me too. But do you think that there would be, what would need to happen for there to be a turning point where we collectively said, okay, enough now?
There would need to be a consensus to regulate in every territory that these sorts of algorithms are illegal. Now, it's interesting because the Online Safety Act gives Ofcom a theoretical power to look at these sorts of algorithms, but it's just a minnow. It's never going to be able to regulate these huge companies. They are too powerful. I think that they need to be broken up, frankly, but I just don't see any political will to do that at the moment. I think something disastrous needs to happen before anyone will consider that, I guess I'd say to you.
I was reading an article recently, and it was by a guy who has also written a book on the same topic, whose name is eluding me right now, but he was talking about how we're in an age of techno-feudalism, and we are all essentially just techno-serfs who are endlessly creating this free content, which we are feeding into the internet machine, which is making these tech oligarchs who own it all incredibly wealthy, but for the vast majority of people isn't actually doing anything positive for them or their lives. Do you think that's an overly simplistic way of looking at it?
I think there's a fundamental truth in that. I mean, we are fodder. I mean, you know that expression, if you don't pay for the service, you are the service. Mm. We need to return to the idea of being the consumer rather than the product. I think then maybe, you know, we have a chance. But the thing is, the World Wide Web was born out of a hippie-like idealism. I mean, Tim Berners-Lee very famously didn't patent the technology, he would have been a very, very rich man if he'd have charged even a fraction of one penny for every time someone clicked on a link. I mean, just imagine. But he wanted the technology to take off, and to do that, he made it, you know, open technology, not patented. And I think that the difficulty now is finding the, you know, a way in which we can roll back any of this. I just don't. As I say, I don't see it.
Do you think that we've been naive? I remember when the Twitterati was a thing. You know, remember when Caitlin Moran was kind of the queen of UK Twitter, and it was fun, and we were all telling jokes and sharing pictures of our cats and tweeting along with EastEnders, and it was just this sort of glorious unifying thing where it really did feel like a community, but a community of escape from everyday life. Do you think that it was naive not to think that maybe one day we would end up where we are now?
No, I mean, I think it was... No, not naive. I mean, this was an entirely new and fast-moving technology, so very hard to regulate or legislate in relation to, or even predict the direction, you know? I mean, these things... I mean, this is a 36-year-old technology, and we've had these problems for over a decade. So it was no, I don't think it was naive. I think what happened was some not very nice people worked out how to make lots of money out of abusing human psychology, and they actually employed psychologists to make smartphones addictive and social media platforms addictive and games addictive. And there wasn't the regulatory framework that there would have been. You know, if these people had been heroin dealers, there would at least have been laws against it, and there'd have been a fight. But we sat here, and unfortunately human nature is, you know, we're kind of like children. We like shiny baubles, and when we're told they're free, then we download the app, and we don't worry about the permissions that we're giving, and we don't worry that those apps are being used to profile us and then to give us unique political micro messages. So if you think about the, you know, days of the party political broadcast, whether you approved of a party or not, we'd all hear the same message from the broadcast. Now we're having all slightly different or fundamentally different messages whispered in our ears about political ideas. And then, you know, they take advantage of our human frailties. We were not designed to exist in this age with this sort of messaging. We you know, we have confirmation bias. We have all sorts of weaknesses that psychologists are using against us now, or these companies employing them are using.
Fevzi Turkalp, fascinating to speak to you as always. Technology journalist, editor of GadgetDetective.com, and host of the Gadget Detective podcast there.